wish you God's blessings, that God's grace would be upon you, and peace from our Lord Jesus. And it's a bit of a smaller crowd here today, but it reminds me of when me and Samantha first started coming. It was a bit of a small crowd, and those were good days, and these are good days too. We praise God for you all, and we thank you for being our friends, and we love you, and we thank you for being here today. And it is good for you to be here today. I know sometimes the preachers up here, they say, thank you for being here. It's a blessing that you're here, and we want you to be here, and it's all good. But I would like to just turn that around too and just say it is good for you to be here. So you're here, and it's good for you, and it's good for us to be here together. Brother Michael, I was very encouraged. He's not here. Yeah, he is here. Thank you for that message, Brother Michael. The pursuit of happiness in the world looks so much different than the pursuit of happiness in the Christian faith, in the Christian life. And I remember years back having seen a movie out of Hollywood, and I would not encourage that today, but this was before I was a Christian. There was a movie called The Pursuit of Happiness, and it was exactly that, pursuing riches and pursuing wealth and pursuing worldly things, and then giving that picture that you're happy. But it is just like Brother Michael said, those that pursue happiness that way, they are not happy. They're missing the point. The Christian life gives us different instruction to pursue happiness, and that is to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. That is to die to ourselves and live for God, to serve one another and lay down our selfish desires. So God bless you for sharing that, and it was a blessing. And I think the messages are going to tie in together pretty good today. Some of the same verses are going to be used. The same idea. The message for today is the race of faith. The race of faith. So if I were to ask today, who in this room is living the life of a pilgrim? We are Pilgrim Church here in Comber. Well, who in this room is living the life of a pilgrim? You can raise your hands and your hearts. I believe there's many pilgrims here today. And I would say that I am living the life of a pilgrim. And I'll ask a question, who from amongst you pilgrims and myself, who finds himself weary at times of the Christian journey? And I confess, I get weary at times. The Christian journey was not promised to be an easy journey. It's not promised to be a life of ease, but it is a blessed, supremely happy, a blessed journey. But I confess, I get weary at times. Does that mean that I'm giving up? No, it doesn't mean that. Does that mean that I'm going to throw it all away? No, doesn't mean that. Does it mean that we're going to draw back? God forbid. We are not of those who draw back. Right, brothers and sisters? And Paul shared that with a group of believers. We are not of those who draw back. We press on. We press forward and towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We don't draw back. But if I look at the crowd and I know you all, I know that there are some in here who may still be walking in darkness, who have not tasted of that light. It's a mixed crowd. There are some in here that are yet walking in darkness, and then there are some in here who are walking in the light and who are encouraged and are excited and on fire for God. And that's exciting. And I praise God for all you that are that way. And then I know if we are just going to be honest with ourselves, there are some among us here who are yet walking in the light, but are getting weary. And that's the group I want to address today. I want to talk about that group that is walking in the light. They've been faithful for many years. They've been faithful for a few years, and yet growing weary. And I want to talk about why we may be feeling that way, and one of the reasons I believe that we feel that way is because the devil wants to tear us down. And it's not always easy. Like I said, the Christian life isn't an easy life. It's a life that goes against the grain. It's a life that is the minority. It's a life that is different from the world. And the world is going in one direction, and the Christian life, that race that we're running in, calls us to run in the opposite direction. And it's not an easy one. But God takes us through things in life, and He allows certain things to happen to us, and we wonder why. But God has His reasons for it. And we're going to talk about those. So before we get any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. Lord, I want to thank You for each brother and sister in here today. Lord, everyone here today, I pray that You would bless them. I pray that You would help them to grow deeper in their faith in You. And for myself and for my family, Lord, that we would love You and serve You and grow deeper in our faith in You, Lord, and that we could be here for one another and that You would pour Your Holy Spirit out amongst us, that we could live for You, Lord. We don't boast that we're living this life of the Christian faith in our own strength, Lord, but we boast that it's in Your strength. Lord, we glory in what You do for us and how You lead Your children. And we plead for mercy, and we plead for guidance and direction, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. So God takes us through life, and He allows certain things to happen to us, and we wonder, why, God? Why don't things line up better for me? Why am I battling with this situation? Why am I maybe battling with my health constantly? Why do I constantly have relationship issues? And the whys can go on, and we ask, why? All these diverse temptations. And Brother Michael read the verse, and God gives the answer. And He says, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience. The trying of your faith works patience. And so there's a reason why, right? We can ask why, and God has the answers why. God allows hard circumstances into our lives because He wants to work in us a greater and a deeper faith in Him. He wants to work in us something that is far more beautiful than anything that we can imagine here on earth as human beings. And that's what God is working in us. And we remember that God's ways are greater than our ways. As far as the east is from the west, God's ways are greater than our ways. As far as the worst is from the best, God's ways are greater than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His wisdom exceeds that of human wisdom. And sometimes we have a hard time even understanding ourselves. We have a hard time even understanding why we feel this way or why this is this way about ourselves. And yet God understands us better than we understand ourselves. God knows every detail about who we are, about how we've been created, about what is best for us. He knows what's best for us. And we need to trust Him in that. And the Bible says that a father won't give his child a snake when they ask for bread. And God won't give us a curse if we're asking for a blessing. And sometimes we're asking for blessings, and then immediately after that, or shortly after that, some hard thing happens to us. Those are oftentimes blessings in disguise. And we don't see it until way later. And then we look back and we see how that was a blessing. Who's all seen the sign over at the curling club lately? There's always a bit of a funny comment on there. It's normally clean humor. But the sign over at the curling club on Highway 18, it says, I'm about ready for some blessings that are not in disguise. Okay, that sounds a little bit of a pessimistic view. But the truth is that blessings do come in disguise very often. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize it and appreciate it, knowing that God is dealing with his children as he sees fit. And, you know, we think about our own salvation. There's many in here who have been born again by the Spirit of God. And you think about your own salvation. How many of us would have come to the Lord without having gone through some very difficult thing first? Is that a blessing in disguise? We look back and we see what a blessing that God took us through that valley, that God brought us from up here and he took us right down low so that when we were low, we could finally look up again. God knows what's best for his children. You know, we people, we are so stubborn. We are so ignorant of our own sinfulness. And so God has to do some refining in our lives. God has to take us through some very humbling things, through some very difficult things, only so that we could see reality a bit more clearly. He brings us low so that we will look up. Perhaps God sees in us an area of pride, and he wants to refine us of that sin. And so he sends some hard thing only to work in us humility. You know, humility is a blessed character, a blessed fruit of the Spirit. And it's a blessing to be around people that are humble. And if you just consider your own friends, and maybe there are some people in your circle of relationships that you know that they have quite a bit of pride, and it's not that fun being around those types of people. And it's a blessing to be around humble people. It is. The verse Romans 12:16, it says, condescend to men of low estate. If we're going to put that in plain English, it says, make humble people your friends. Condescend to men of low estate. Make humble people your friends. It'll be a blessing to us, and it's a blessing to be around humble people. Speaking about humility, I would just give a warning, and I've given a warning about this before, but you know, in the Hebrew language, and when Jesus really, really wanted to stress something, he said it twice. Verily, verily, I say unto you. That was very seriously, and so I don't apologize for saying this again when I know I've said it before. I just give a warning for those who desire to be more humble, that when you pray for humility, don't pray for humility without praying for much grace and much mercy. I think it was Brother Henry, you shared what kind of prayers God answers last Sunday, and this is one of them that God will answer very quickly. I wonder if there's some experiences in here, if you just can recall having prayed for humility and God does it. You don't just raise your hand if you've ever experienced that. I have, and I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson. Just give a few examples. The first time I remember starting up my business, and I was fairly new in the faith, probably year number two or three, and newly married. I really wanted to support my wife and be a good provider for our home, and so we make a risk. We quit our business and we quit my job and started a business, and it ended up going quite a bit better than I had expected right off the bat. And I remember the one year I was on my way to a job site, and things had been prospering faster than I had expected. And I just remember praying, and I was just talking with God on my way to work. I said, Lord, please help me to keep a humble attitude. And if I can't, I pray that you would take it all away. Just please help me to keep a humble attitude. And it was about 5 minutes later, I'm at work, and my wife calls me, and she says, honey, I'm at the grocery store, and I can't pay for the groceries. Can you please check the accounts? And so I did. I went online, and I was a little bit worried because we always, at first, we stretched ourselves pretty thin personally to try to help the business go. And sure enough, we were minus 500 in our accounts. And so right away, I texted her. I said, I'm sorry, honey. We're minus 500. And I sent it off. And I sent it to my family group instead of my wife. And it didn't take long, and I had all my brothers and all my sisters. I have $500 I can borrow you. I have $500 I can borrow. I can do something. Hey, what can we do? What can we do? And it was so humbling. And I had some of those very family members working for me. And I'm sure they were wondering if they were going to get a paycheck that week. But God answers that prayer. And that's in a little way. God answers that prayer like that, like quick. So when you pray for humility, pray for mercy, pray for grace. I just want to give one more example. I prayed for humility again at the beginning of the year. And we were at leadership seminar out in Indiana. And we were having prayer group meetings at the end of every day after the sermons had been preached. We had prayer group meetings. And towards the end, when we were going to start praying, we had six people in a cell group. And the one brother prayed that he wanted, shared that he wanted to pray for humility. And my heart starts beating a bit. I say, okay, be careful. It's good, but be careful. And then all of them, they wanted to pray for humility. All of them. And honestly, I was getting a little bit nervous. And so here they go. I'm the last to pray, but they prayed, Lord, humility. Grant us humility. Grant us humility. Grant us humility. And it was my turn to pray. And I was nervous. I said, Lord, have mercy on us. They're all asking for humility, and I know you're going to answer it. And so I prayed too. And I remember praying, Lord, we're all praying for humility. And yes, we want humility, but please grant mercy along with your humility. I know you're going to answer. Please grant mercy. And we prayed, and I left that prayer room. And I hadn't made it to the dinner table yet. Right after prayer, we were supposed to go to the dinner table. And I got a call, this was at the beginning of the year, from my business partner, Abe, that one of the employees had fallen off of a steel building and his arteries in his chest ripped open and he almost died. And a helicopter airlifted him to the hospital. And I knew God answers very quick when we pray for humility. So I say it again, brothers and sisters, when you pray for humility, please ask for mercy and grace. Because God grants that prayer. I've learned my lesson. Before I pray for humility, I'm just going to go humble myself. Just go humble ourselves, brothers and sisters. Don't let a spirit of pride be found in you. Because God wants to draw that out of us. And when the Lord wants to humble a person, he knows how to do it. God knows what's best for us. And we trust that he does. I thought about singing a song. And as I'm speaking about the race of faith, we're going to be going into that here soon. The race of faith, you know, and God wants to find in us a humble character. The Bible says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you in due time. God says that he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we know that God takes us through these difficult things. And only, brothers and sisters, do not faint. He will take us through trials, only do not faint. The verse was read out of Job 5:17. God loves his children and he corrects those. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Say, only do not faint. And I thought about the song, there's a city of light. Why? What kind of encouragement can we put before us so that we do not faint? And the song says, pray for each other, don't faint by the way. And it's song number 990. Wonder if we could turn there and rise to our feet and sing that song. I realize there's a small group here today, so I'm not a song leader, but let's pour our heart into this song, seeing that city of light that is set before us as an encouragement for us not to faint as we run the race of faith. 990. There's a city of light, mid the stars we are told, where they know not a sorrow or care. And the gates are of pearl, and the streets are of gold, and the building exceedingly fair. Let us pray for each other, not faint by the way, in this sad world of sorrow and care. For that home is so bright and is almost in sight, and I trust in my heart you'll go there. Brother dear, never fear, we shall triumph at last if we trust in the word he has given. When our trials and toils and our weepings are past, we shall meet in that home up in heaven. Let us pray for each other, not faint by the way, in this sad world of sorrow and care. For that home is so bright and is almost in sight, and I trust in my heart you'll go there. Let us walk in the light of the gospel divine. Let us ever keep near to the cross. Let us love, watch, and pray in our pilgrimage here. Let us count all things else but as loss. Let us pray for each other, not faint by the way, in this sad world of sorrow and pain. For that home is so bright and is almost in sight, and I trust in my heart you'll go there.
Amen. Thank you for that. You may be seated. So turn with me to Hebrews 12. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, or no, the first 13 verses. There we read, wherefore, and whenever we see a wherefore, we need to find out what it's there for. And so, wherefore, and its previous chapter was talking about all the heroes of faith that have endured such hard things, but yet they were heroes of faith. They ran the race. They were strong. They didn't faint. They were examples for us to look back to. And so it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed with such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, that is, and run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be content, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That's going to be the verses we're going to be going through today. You know, the Bible likens the Christian faith to many things. But this morning I want to look at the picture that it gives us as of a race that's being run. And the race that's being run is the journey in this world as pilgrims and strangers who do not belong to this world. And here we are, running through this world towards another world where the curse of sin is no longer there, where death and sorrow and pain are forgotten, but life and peace and joy and glory with God our Father are forevermore. And we're running towards that. And we're running away from this world. And we're running towards that world. And we're setting aside the weights that hinder us here so that we can run with more endurance towards that glorious land over there. The reward for the race is well worth any trial or hardship that we may face. And to set those things before us, those things of glory before us, will help us to not grow weary as we run in this race. The first verse said, Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we are called to run in this race of faith. And that's the race of the Christians. And we know that the world also has a race. And who knows what that race is called? The world has a race. It's called a rat race. And the rats are winning in that race. And we as Christians, we can so easily be caught up in that rat race. But God is asking us to lay aside every weight. And that weight I see as cares of this world, busynesses of life, things that are not necessarily sin, but they weigh us down. They choke out the word. They are hindrances to us when we run the race of faith. And I thought about what Brother Ed Conhoffen shared with me a little while ago, and I was encouraged by his words. We were talking about the things that we face as business owners, how we can easily get caught up in the rat race of this world, and when your authorities know how much you can handle, they put as much as they can put on you, and start demanding it, and it really starts taking the joy out of what you're doing. But Brother Ed asked me a few weeks ago, well, are you running your business or is it running you? And that challenged me and encouraged me to refocus on what has eternal value. You know, we men, we think we're so strong, and we can carry big burdens, and we can carry a lot of weight, And it's true that we can, and we do, oftentimes carry a big burden. And it can be a blessing, and it is a blessing oftentimes, but we can also overdo it to a point where it becomes a hindrance to our race in the faith of our Lord Jesus. It can become a hindrance. Who remembers Pete Enns' children's lesson when he had the children's lesson about running the race? I think maybe half of you were here, but he had a really blessed children's lesson about running the race. And after he had encouraged the children that we ought to lay aside all the weights and that we can run better without a big burden on our back and we'll endure longer, and then he gave them a practical example, and he lined up the boys here and he lined up the girls here, and they were going to have a race. And whoever got through the line first would be the winner. And he gave them each a bag, and he put a pile of bricks here, and he put a couple feathers there. And he gave them a bag, and he said, here, take this bag and put whatever you want in there, and then go to the back and come back, and then the next person can take that bag and put whatever they want there, go to the back, come back. Well, the girls, they come up in line, they grab a feather, put it in the bag, they go to the back. The boys are loading it up with bricks. Right after a lesson about how weights can weigh us down in a race. And the boys are just loading them up with bricks. And those that were stronger, they loaded up with lots of bricks. Some loaded up one brick. And I kind of forget exactly how it went, but I believe that was the picture that I remembered. But I had to ask, do we men do the same thing sometimes? You know, we're strong. You know, we can carry big burdens. And as men, I think it's necessary that we carry burdens. We bear one another's burdens, and we bear the burden of the responsibility that we carry for our families, that the main burden falls on us, and that's good. But I wonder if we can do it sometimes in an unhealthy way. Thinking for just an example for us as business owners, there's many in here. There's such thing as overdoing it or not being in control or letting it overwhelm you and then it kind of controls you. And different personalities have different capabilities. Okay, there's some here that can carry more weight, that can put more bricks in that bag, and it may feel like a feather to them anyways. We all have our own capabilities, and we should make sure we're staying within our limits. And maybe just ask the question to yourself, are you running your business or is it running you? And the answer to that question will tell you whether or not it's an unhealthy weight when running the Christian faith. And it doesn't have to be just business owners. There's men in here that are in places of authority. Well, that, what you have been given, are you in control of that or is it running you? And so, yeah, just think about those things. But weights, that's one example of a weight, but weights could be many things. They're hindrances. Anything that hinders us from our Christian faith, anything, it can be a weight. A while ago, or a few weeks ago, I shared about the technology or the social media or the phones. If I had a phone right here, I'd pick it up, I'd say it's light. It's a light thing. It's a light thing physically. But spiritually, it could be a heavy weight. It could be a very heavy weight that really hinders us from moving forward with our faith in God. And so, consider that when we're running this race of faith. I want to compare the race of faith to an actual physical race now. An actual physical race has many similarities to the Christian race. And I used to be a runner in grade school all the way up to the age of 20. I'm 34 now, but I used to be a runner, and I was competitive in my running capabilities. And it was, I mean, a few years ago I was pretty humbled when I raced against Timmy and Jesse. Timmy's not here right now. I thought I would have had more on him than I did, but so that's gone. But I used to be a runner, and I've been in a lot of races, and I can compare what those races are to what the race of the
spiritual life, Christian life is. And so that's what I want to do here. So first of all, there's different types of races. You have short distance dash. Short distance races are 100 meters. You have 40 meter dashes. And those are more like sprinting. They're short. 10 seconds for somebody who's really good, very professional, can run a 100 meter dash. Then you have the long distance races. They're like 1500 meter races. You run the track four times. Then you have marathons. A marathon is 42 kilometers. So different types of races. Then you have different types of runners. And I want to compare the runners in a long distance race. Okay, so I believe a long distance race gives more of a picture of the Christian faith race. It's not just a short sprint. The race of faith is a long distance race. And so different runners in a long distance race, and I'll give three. There's some runners when that gun goes off and they're on the track and they're beside all their competitors, when that gun goes off, they're going to sprint. Right off the bat, they give it all they have. And I've run many 1500 meter races, and I learned that if you set a pace and keep that pace and save that burst of energy to the end, you have a higher chance of winning. And there was, in seventh grade, I ran a race against eighth graders, and it was a 1500 meter race. We were going to run the track four times, and the gun went off, and I immediately set my pace. And you set your breathing pattern. You have a with your steps, you breathe. And you set your pace. And there was men beside me that were older than I, and at a young age, 1 year makes a big difference, right? So they were older than I, and they sprinted. They don't want to lose. They sprinted. And I thought to myself, this was Adolf. His name was Adolf. I said, I wasn't worried one single bit. I knew he was going to slow down because he gave it all he had at the beginning. And I knew after one round, he was going to be tuckered out. And it was just like that. One round. And then I kept my pace and passed him, soon passed him, almost lapped him yet. He is exhausted. But those are oftentimes just unexperienced runners. But that's one experience of how people race. They sprint, and then they get tired, and then oftentimes they get so discouraged that they bail out. Some people will still finish that race, but if there's too much pride in a person, they'll walk off the track. That's it. They couldn't handle that type of humility. But a lot of people will still finish the race. Okay, and then there's the others. They'll start a pace, just like I explained. They'll start a pace. They'll keep their speed. And they'll have the right breathing pattern. And they'll focus. And they go around the tracks. And then the last 100 meters, they give it everything they have. That's another type of runner. Then, that was normally my technique. And then there were some that were able to set up almost like a sprinting pace. The gun goes off and they like sprinted. And they didn't slow down. And that happened to me in a county race. So there's three stages of races in the public schools, and I was in a public school system. So first you'll race in your own school, and then if you get first or second, you'll go to a regionals, which is maybe seven or eight schools close by. And then if you win first or second there, then you go to a countywide, which is your top eight in the county. And that's where I've seen this type of racing. The gun goes off and everyone's sprinting. Almost a full-out sprint. And I knew right away this wasn't going to be like the other situation where they'll slow down yet, because these were the top eight in the county. And they sprinted and they sprinted and they sprinted and they went all the way around. And these are oftentimes very the professionals, well
well-trained, endured professional runners. And I did not do so well in that race. I should have learned to sprint. But these are just the different types of runners that I want to give you an example of. And now, as a born-again believer, I see the same types of patterns in the Christian life. It's the same in the spiritual life, in the race of faith. There are some who start off so strong, and they start off so passionately, and you can see that drastic change in their life, and they're excited. But sometimes they will slow right down. They may still end up running the race and finishing it, but sometimes they won't. They might get so discouraged at times that they'll fall away from the faith altogether. God bless you all as you go. And why does that happen? You know, why does that happen? Just like that runner that I shared with you at the beginning, he couldn't handle it. There was so much. He started off so strong, and eventually he ended up throwing in the towel, throwing it all away. And there was an element of pride in him that he didn't even want to finish the race. He just gave it up altogether. And I believe that oftentimes there's spiritual pride in their lives that they are blind to. Those sometimes that start off so strong and so passionately sometimes have spiritual pride in their life that they're often blind to. And even though others may see it, and even though others may even point it out, but they don't see it themselves. And so they continue on in the race, many times in the strength of their own flesh and might, and eventually get tired and burn out. I've only been a Christian for 12 years now, but I've seen these things. Some of you have been for 40 years. Some of you have been for 30 years. You probably know, too, that these things happen. And it's sad to see, but they do happen. And another type of racer in the race of faith, some start off at a set pace, a slower set pace, and they recognize their own weaknesses. They recognize that without God, they are nothing. And they are able to maintain a humble attitude. And God's grace can work in them more and more and deeper. And before you know it, they're strong in the Lord. They're deeply rooted in the Lord. And they seem unmovable in their faith. And they raise up godly families. And they become well-seasoned Christians. And they become pillars in the churches. And they keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going until they're gone. And then they've run the race well. And then there are those who start off passionately, those who continue in the Lord and keep their love for God and their faith in Christ hot. It seems like their whole race, their whole life. And it seems like God has given them an extra measure of faith and an extra measure of grace. And I praise God for men and women like this. You know, this would have been all of the apostles. This would have been many of our forefathers. This would have been many of the martyrs that died for Christ. And even amongst us here, I believe there's some amongst you here, brothers and sisters, that have been able to do that. And I pray that God would help you to continue that way, continue to stay hot in your faith for God. So when we consider the race that God has set before us, I want us to remember the most important thing is that we do not faint while running. When running a marathon, there are many, many people who are tired, who get weary, but then they just walk. They don't give up. They just keep going. And so many times I've seen in races when early on in the race, you see somebody got so tired and so exhausted, he put his hands down and he started walking. And it takes a long time before that person finally crosses the finish line. But that person ends up getting praise in the end. That he kept going, that she kept going. And that's just the way it is in a real race, and that's how it should be in our life for God too. If we get tired, just keep going. We're going to finish this race eventually. We just keep going. It's important that we do not faint. Do not give up when we feel exhausted and discouraged. In a real race, in a marathon, there is always a point. There is always a point where you don't know if you're going to make it. And normally, from my experience, and I say a marathon, but in long distance races, I actually never run a marathon, but I've done 10Ks and 8Ks. But there's always about a quarter ways in or a third of the way in where you don't know if you're going to make it. And you are dreading that long way ahead. But then you set your pace again, and you keep going, and you keep going. And once you make it past the halfway mark, it starts seeming easier and easier. And before you know it, you cross the finish line. And so for the race of faith, for some of us in here, for the way I feel sometimes, you know, we may be growing weary of the many hardships that God takes us through. But brothers and sisters, let's not faint. Take those times and seek God and wait upon the Lord and look forward to that heavenly abode that will one day be ours if we faint not, if we cross the finish line. Consider, like we said in the beginning, consider the heroes of faith that have been written about in Hebrews 11. Consider all the other heroes of faith who we read about in the martyr's mirror. Consider the heroes of faith that we know personally, that have endured, that have run the race, that have been strong. And may that be an encouragement for us to keep going. It's going to be a short message today. I know many were going to Shenandoah, so I purpose to keep it short. And so I'm going to give some concluding thoughts here already. Our trials are small in comparison to the martyrs that we have before us. You know, no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we've gone through, we have not yet resisted unto blood, the Bible says. That is, we have not yet become martyrs for our Lord. And it may be that God will require that from some of us in here today. God may require that one of us in here will become a martyr for him. You know, the way the world is going, the continued increase of evil that is saturating our society, we should not be surprised if it comes to that point. So let's do as Paul said. Let's do as Paul did. He said he presses towards that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Some of us who are getting weary, I know you're tired, but keep going. We press forward. We press towards that mark. Let's continue to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. I like the way it says that he despised the shame. And we too, may we despise the suffering. May we despise the hard things we go through. They're nothing. Despise them. They're nothing compared to what lies ahead. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if we despise these things, one day we will be set down at the right hand of our Lord. As sheep, not as goats. And then let's keep in mind the words of Isaiah to whom God said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that verse stood out to me recently. You imagine running and not growing weary? You know, we can run from here to the end of the driveway and we're huffing and puffing and panting. But the day will come when we're going to run and never grow weary. An amazing thought. We may be growing weary in our race of faith today, but if we wait upon the Lord, He will renew our strength so that we will be able to run and never grow weary. We will be able to walk and never faint. And I see that as a promise of the glory that is to come. When this world is passed away and the glory of heaven is at hand, God's reward for faithfulness to Him is far greater than the pains of His chastening us today. Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, this world it's hard on everyone. But for the pilgrim, for the ones running the race of faith, there's a living hope. There's eternal hope to just keep going. You know, we have that hope in Jesus Christ. And may we continue to put our trust in Him and our love for God. I'll leave it there. Hope that was a blessing. God bless you all.